Welcome to South Haven Business Beat. This is our special election edition. We talk to the candidates about the issues important to you and your business. We would like to thank the following sponsor, Wisdom Integrators. Are you a business owner and is technology getting in the way of your business? If your computers are slow, your website is horrible, or your business needs more efficiency, then it's time to reach out to Aaron Kozort and Wisdom Integrators. And now, here's your host, Robbie Yates.
Hey, how's it going? Welcome back, everybody. My name is Robbie Yates, and we're on today with South Haven Business Beat, and with Mr. Thomas Tuggle, and we're going through the series of different elections that are coming up, and just really getting to know the candidate and make sure they're the right candidate for the job so you can go out there and make that vote happen. So, Mr. Tuggle, welcome to the show.
Hey, well, thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Yeah. I know we were talking a little bit before offline, and I know I said it before, but I want to say it again. Thank you so much for your service. I was looking through your bio, and I'm always impressed at somebody that takes that time and sacrifice for the company, the country. So thank you for that.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. I appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know we'll dive into it in a little bit, but and we're talking, like, again, before offline about some of the issues that you plan on tackling. And so what are the primary issues that you see within an office that you're going to seek and you want to tackle when you get in there?
Okay. Well, I'm seeing right now the biggest thing that we're going to look at is the violent crime that's facing this county. Mm-hmm. It has gotten to the point now we're just south of the most dangerous city in the country, and that's one issue that we have to do. I am very, very fortunate to have a great relationship with every one of these executives in the county. Chief Moore right here in South Haven, I've known him for years. Some of his officers, when I was at State Training Academy, I recruited some of his officers to help us in defensive drive, and so we've had a great working relationship. Chief Cox over mm-hmm. in Olive Branch, we've got a great relationship. I recruited his expertise, and he shared his knowledge with our students in interview and interrogation. Chief Pullen in Horn Lake, she's a former graduate of mine, class president when she come through, so she was destined for stardom, so that relationship's mm-hmm. already established. And also Chief Ellison Hernando, I've known him my whole life, worked with his mom, and Chief Bridges over in Walls. I've worked accidents and early in my career with him. And then, of course, you have Chief Deputy Smith with the Sheriff's Department. Great, outstanding individual. So one of the things I look at is bring to the table. I'm excited to work with people I've already got a relationship with. So, but the answer to your question is violent crime. That is the number one issue and the concerns of the voters in this county.
Yeah, I love that collaboration that you have with other individuals and other sheriffs, to create that partnership. But you had a quote, and I'd love to hear it again, if you don't mind. You're talking about the river, and it kind of ties into what you're talking about in the violent crime and the river about flowing upstream. And can you touch on that?
Yes, sir. My approach to this here is, we look at where we are, and violent crime is all around us, not just Memphis. I mean, we've got it coming up on our western flank, which is coming up 61. And, we are looking at this thing steady moving. So my quote is this: it's always good. I mean, we're constantly pulling people out of the river, but at some time on point, we have to go upstream and find out why they're falling in. Mm. So that's my approach to addressing violent crime. Why is crime becoming increasingly more violent, and why are we seeing why has it become so prevalent? So we're going to go upstream and find out why. So that's my approach. And working with these executives, I'm excited to have an opportunity to hear their ideas, but violent crime is the biggest issue that we're facing right now.
Yeah, I love that, man. That's a great quote. I feel like I'll be quoting that from here on out.
It is, and that's how you have to be proactive when you start looking at addressing crime, and that's my proactive approach.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
And then so tying into that, like, what do you see the primary role as the sheriff?
The primary role of the sheriff is to keep the people in the county protected. I mean, that's just his role. He has to be that beacon of light that they look to and look at and say, hey, this is a guy that's keep me safe. And they want to look at his qualifications. They want to know who the individual is. They want to make sure that he's accessible. But most importantly, if he says something, they want to find out, is he going to make it happen? So they can look at my career. Everything that we have set out to do, we have achieved. And it goes back to what I said earlier. My relationship with all these executives speaks volumes for being a collaborative, having that collaborative work relationship. So, but his primary job, to answer your question, primary job is to keep the people in this county safe and let them know that he is dedicated to doing that.
Yeah, and you touched on before about how one of the aspects you're doing it, and then as far as like what you're doing in the, within the schools, can you touch on that briefly? Because I think that's very impactful.
Yes, you know, I just talked with, you know, I can't remember her name now.
Debbie King.
Debbie, she mentioned about mentorship, and I said that goes right with what we're planning to do. Our plan is to tap into some federal funds that are out there to hire more police officers, and what I would like to do is put 2 to 3 officers in every grade, starting with the third grade, and all the way up to the freshman year in school. And these officers will that assign these third graders, when these third graders go to the fourth grade, these officers go with them. These officers stay with these kids all the way until their freshman year in high school, and then they rotate back down and pick up another group of third graders. What do we get? We get structure. These kids are around structure every day. And also, we are creating or in enhancing the most powerful crime-fighting tool we have available to us, and that is public trust. These kids will start to trust law enforcement. So if they're ever involved or if they ever see something of a criminal nature, they will trust us, pick that phone up, and call us. The other thing is we're also adding another security element to the school system. And these officers will be plain clothes. I mean, they'll wear a sports jacket, dress shirt, and all, but these students and the faculty would know these guys are law enforcement officers. And we'll advertise it. We'll say DeSoto County is the school is full of plainclothes police officers throughout the whole school. So it's a deterrent for anybody who wants to create or want to have an active shooter event. So they get to thinking, well, DeSoto County's got, you know, plainclothes officers throughout the school. I think I'm going to find another school because I have no idea if I walk in a classroom, there's an officer there waiting on them. But most importantly, it's that mentorship piece. These officers will be with these kids in the third grade. And when these kids, say, around the seventh grade, these kids start having behavior issues, these officers can intervene and make sure the child stays on, you know, the right path. And maybe somebody may be trying to introduce them to drugs. Somebody may be trying to pull them in a gang, maybe have some family dynamic issues. These officers can step in and keep them on the right path. That's why it's so important to have that mentorship piece. And thank you for answering that. That's something we're going to work hard on.
Yeah, I tell you what, man, you might make me want to move to DeSoto. I love hearing it.
Yeah. Well, there's another piece, too. There's a patriotic piece to that, because these officers will definitely, you know, be that beacon of life to these kids and say, hey, you're in the greatest country in the world, and let's talk about the national anthem. Let's talk about the Pledge of Allegiance. If we can get that next generation to be more patriotic, half the crime-fighting efforts are already solved.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's pretty obvious from... you know, those that are listening and, you know, the passion, it's, you know, what led you to the role, but what was it, you know, made you decide you to run? I mean, it's pretty obvious on the outside looking in, but what was your decision to say, hey, you know what, I want to tackle this and do this?
The challenges that are facing this county, I look at, this has been my whole career, you know, people in life go through looking for opportunities, and people that are looking for opportunities are always met with challenges. You know, as a young Marine, I decided to reverse that. I said, let me go look for all these challenges. And every time I look for a challenge, I have been rewarded with great opportunities. And that's what I'm looking for right now. The challenge of keeping this county safe, and the rewarding opportunity would be that everybody would be able to feel safe in this county. So we would keep crime out. So I decided to run in this race because of the challenges. And that's what I've done my whole life, look for challenges. And it's going to be a challenge. I can say that. But I go back to my work relationship with all these executives. I think we can do this as a group, and it has been proven that building a team, and I've had very, very good, a lot of success working with other people.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can tell, especially the track record you've had and for the Marine Corps going into it.
We're taking a second to thank our sponsors, Pure Focus Media. Have an event coming up? Let us capture all the moments that will create memories that will last a lifetime with our professional photographer and videographer. Also announcing our new digital selfie photo booth. Book with us today. Be sure to share and subscribe for more business resources. Now back to South Haven Business Beat.
This is kind of a two-part question of really like why you feel like you're the best person for the job, and it kind of ties in, you know, what experience are you bringing to the table? So why are you feel like you're the absolute best person for the job? I know you decided to, but what makes you feel like you're the best person for it? What experience are you bringing to the table?
Well, I will never say I'm the best person for the job because I don't want to sound condescending.
Man, I love that.
I don't really know a lot about what his qualities are and his characteristics. Yeah. And I don't want, you know, law enforcement officers got to be very careful criticizing other law enforcement officers. We have a code of ethics that we follow. But I can just talk about my experience, and, and we can let the people make a decision on that. But I bring 30 years of law enforcement experience to the table. Law enforcement has been my life. I'm 53 years old, and it's been my life for over half of my
I wouldn't guess it.
Part. It is. It is. It is. I've been part of it's just that role. And the other 4 years to serve my country. So I've had an opportunity to start at the very bottom of the pole, which is a street officer in Hernando, and work my way up the ranks. I graduated the State's Police Academy as class president. Had an opportunity to join the Highway Patrol then, but I just thought that loyalty to the cities and the citizens of Hernando was more important to me. So I turned down an opportunity to join the Highway Patrol back in 93, and I came back and served the citizens of Hernando for 4 years. And I had an opportunity to join the Highway Patrol in 96, and I got accepted the first time around, graduated with honors, and they transferred me back up to DeSoto County. So I served this county as a trooper for 2.5 years, and I was promoted again to the training academy, and they brought me down to train every law enforcement officer in the state, and we've had a lot of success. We took a program that was struggling, that was looked at as one of the worst in the country, and made it the best program in the country. So, and we did that in a short period of time. So we were able to train over 10,000 Mississippi law enforcement officers. We went from the worst to first.
Wow.
And it took a lot of hard work, so I bring that experience of bringing people together, taking something that's a challenge, and you know, overcoming it. I was promoted to Executive Officer of the Department of Public Safety in 2006. It was just a fluke. I was out training, and the commissioner said, I'm looking for an executive officer, you know, a guy that's going to be my right-hand man, and you come highly recommended. I had no idea who the commissioner was at the time. So, and where did he get that recommendation? I think he looked at it and said, hey, Thomas Tuggle's a guy that you can trust, a guy that can get the job done. But Thomas Tuggle is that guy that's not afraid to walk in your office and tell you what you need to hear as opposed to what you want to hear. And that meant a lot to him. So we were able to run DPS for 2.5 years, and we had a very, very good run. Governor Barber was reelected, and I requested to go back out to the training academy, and they promoted me back to training academy. I was assistant director out there. So I stayed there until 2017, and I was promoted to director. So a lot of certifications. I mean, I can't. I'm not going to talk about all the certifications I've gone through, but but we've been very successful and bring a lot of money to the state to for officers to train in active shooter response. I worked very well with Texas State University in their alert program, so that was securing almost $25 million for that training. So I bring a lot of experience to the table as far as working with people and achieving and accomplishing things. We have gone to my website. So if people are confused or anything, they can go to my website. I've outlined from every year I've been in law enforcement. You knew what Thomas Tuggle was doing. 1992, 1993, he was doing this. So I encourage people to go.
What's the name of the website?
ThomasTuggleForSheriff.org.
.org, okay.
.org. And, and they can see. Every year you will find out what I'm doing in law enforcement. 30 years. Yes, sir.
I love it. Well, one thing you mentioned about on the website that's on there that you really didn't mention here, and I want to bring up because I think it's important, because earlier in the conversation you mentioned about there's money out there to be had and grant money to help and what you want to do to build in the structure and the foundation you want to build upon. And you actually, you're in charge of it. You had $65 to $70 million you were doing for the DPS. You really briefly touched on that of how you utilize that money.
Yes, I mean, as the XO, Department of Public Safety has 12 directors. With the Highway Patrol, they had a colonel. But as the XO, you have to work with all those directors to create the budget, help them, you know, listen to what they need, and have the courage to tell them that, hey, these are some areas we're going to have to cut. So the crime lab was always pretty much the one that had the biggest budget because they had all the high-tech equipment, and they were working with a short staff. So MHP, Highway Patrol, had a big budget. I mean, you got to think about all the troopers out there. So to have an opportunity to work with them in creating a budget that was that would be that could be submitted and approved was not only challenging, but actually was fun. To work with them because we got in and behind closed doors and really talked about crunching numbers. And the commissioner, I have to thank, he's no longer with us, but I have to thank him for giving me the opportunity to have to get that experience and working with such large numbers when it comes to money. But it was very, we had a great time. We were very successful,
Yeah, I love it. And then last question, it's kind of maybe several issues if you want to, one you want to touch on. I'll really leave this one to you, but like the issues that you see within DeSoto County, what do you feel like that needs to be addressed? Is there one thing you feel like you want to tackle first, or are there several issues you're going out at the same time?
Well, the biggest thing is establishing that relationship with all these executives and coming up with a comprehensive and also an acceptable way to address violent crime. You know, I mentioned earlier about, you know, going upstream, finding out why. I think that there are several ways we can do that. Video games is one. We need to look at the makers of these violent video games and start to get them to create video games that reward the user for helping a police officer, or reward the user for helping a senior citizen, reward the user for doing something positive. Even singing a national anthem, you get extra points for it. So if we can start at a young age of transforming the mindset of the next generation with video games. Now, people say, well, how do you know video games are effective? Well, if the United States military can use video games to train soldiers in close quarter battle or to teach them how to fly fighter jets, I'm pretty sure we can use video games to teach our kids to be more patriotic and respectful of the neighbors. It's sad that we're at this point now where we have to tell kids that if it doesn't belong to you, keep your hands off of it. But that's where we are. So I look at working with people in the community, several of them, spiritual leaders, our churches. I look at work with our teachers, you know, our business owners, you know, parents. It's going to take a group effort to send a strong message to the, or in other words, to make this successful as far as fighting violent crime. So I'm looking forward to putting together a group and let's tackling this together. The sheriff can't do it by himself.
Absolutely.
We're also dealing with that same piece. We have a mental health crisis going on in our community. So we want our officers trained in crisis intervention. And so they will understand just because a person is having a mental health problem, they're not being violent. It's just that we need to understand that it's a mental health crisis. And the other big piece I want to talk about is we have a community out there, a hearing impaired or special needs, and we need to make sure that when they call 911, our operators can communicate with them. So we're looking into finding ways to take care of those individuals that have hearing issues, hearing deficits, and also people with so special needs to be able to utilize 911. That's something that is not pushed, and that we have people in the community that have those issues. So I'm looking forward to getting that established also. We want everybody to be able to utilize, you know, everything we bring to the table.
Well, I love the passion, the vision, what you have going, because you're encompassing everything and you're looking at it. It's not just you, it's everybody, and you're reaching out to other aspects too to build this up. And I wish you all nothing but the best.
Well, great, great. Thank you so much. And keep praying for this country.
Absolutely.
We can do this right. We're doing it respectfully. So if we do this right, the rest of the country will say, hey, I want to be what DeSoto County is.
And I was thinking the same thing. You can be the example, and then people will be coming here and realize, hey, we got to talk to him. How do they do this?
Absolutely. Because there's a lot of communities that that are just like DeSoto County that border a major metropolitan area with a high crime rate. So they want to say, well, how did DeSoto County get it right? So we're going to send that strong message that it's going to take a collaborative effort.
Absolutely. Mr. Tucker, hey, I appreciate your time, man.
Thank you so much, sir. We appreciate you inviting me in.
We would like to thank the following sponsor, Follow App. The Follow App is the long-term solution for networking, instantly connecting you to those frequently missed opportunities to find the right referral partner or new client to grow your business. Thank you for listening to this episode of South Haven Business Beat. This podcast is brought to you by the South Haven Chamber of Commerce. We know relationships create commerce. Thank you for joining us. Like what you see and hear? Please tell others and subscribe.